Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. I'm joined on the podcast today by Laura Nossett, author of the new novel, The Professor. New York Times bestselling writer Karen Slaughter wrote about the novel. The Professor is a thoroughly gripping mystery about power, ambition, and the lengths we will go to in order to succeed. Pacey and full of tension, this one will stick with you long after the end. Lauren, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Jeff.
Absolutely. If someone hasn't yet heard about your novel, The Professor, how would you describe the novel?
Yeah, so The Professor, it's a dark academia thriller. So it's a campus novel, begins with a murder. It's the follow-up to my debut novel, which is The Resemblance. So it's a standalone mystery, but we find the same detective who is now retired because of certain actions she took in the last book. But she is the one who ultimately will solve the crime. So it begins, the professor begins with a suspicious student death, and his professor is implicated in this death, and there begins to be rumors that she might have even been having an affair with this student. My detective, her name is Marlett Kaplan. She is the daughter of a professor at this university where the professor teaches, and her mother is also a colleague of the accused professor. So her mother asks her to get involved. Since she's recently retired from the police force, she has all these skills, of a detective. She was in the homicide unit. And she's also missing her purpose in life, having since retired. So she kind of grudgingly begins to look into this. But without all the connections that she had on the police force, she has to get very creative in how she tries to find out what happened, and ends up getting closer to a victim's life than ever before.
Do you remember the original idea or impetus that led you to writing the novel?
You know, it's interesting. For The Resemblance, so the first Marlett Kaplan book, I actually have a very distinct memory of where the voice of Marlett Kaplan, the detective, came from. I was visiting my parents who live in Georgia. This was at the last house they lived in, and it must have been over the holidays since I was in town. And I was in their basement, and I remember I walked by. They had this kind of big old red leather armchair, and I walked by it, and I just had this distinct vision of this woman. And I heard her voice, so meaning the narrative voice, the first-person voice I ultimately wrote in, of her waking up on fire and screaming in German, which was a language she did not know. And so I remember very vividly, actually, just that moment of inspiration and sitting down to type it into my phone, which is what I do a lot of times if I have inspiration, you know, not near my computer. So I remember that vividly. For The Professor, there was actually a moment, just a very strange experience that I had that inspired a scene in the book that actually comes, you know, mid to three quarters of the way through. And it has to do with a plot that is not, you know, the full plot. But it was, I can be kind of a chatty Cathy with strangers. And I have this experience where, and unfortunately I have done this numerous times, I finally stopped, but I think maybe COVID and people wearing masks and stuff has helped with this. But whenever I would get on an airplane, I would just talk to the person, you know, next to me, and I would realize, you know, by the end of the conversation that I had told them enough information where, if in theory there was some crazy person, because of course as a thriller writer, you always go that, you know, you go that direction. But I had told them enough information that they could very easily find me, because at the time I was a professor at a liberal arts college, and I told them I taught German, and really that's all you need to know to find me, you know, on campus, because our office numbers are always listed. And that experience, we have this conversation, and then it awkward, and then I was like, oh God, well, I just told him all this information. And then I kept thinking about this experience days later, and I actually sat down just to write about it, just to kind of get it out of my head. And that scene ends up making it into the book. It's not a preliminary scene or anything like that, but I do think the kind of sense of darkness and claustrophobia might have, you know, just impacted the way I saw this book.
I know that you have a PhD in literature. How was it to switch from teaching literature to writing fiction and writing thrillers?
It was interesting because I've always been writing. So I think the first full-length novel I wrote was actually when I was doing my master's program, and I was writing about the 19th century literary representations of Tusnelda, who I'm guessing you've probably never heard of because it's so obscure. Yes. But I got super into it. So Tusnelda is a historic figure. She was the wife of a Germanic prince. So this was back when Germany was just territories. And Rome was expanding its own territory into Germanic, the land of these Germanic people who were really disparate tribes. This is in 9 CE. So we're going way back to when the Germanic people were not writing. We only have Roman sources. But then in the writing about this battle, and then this woman who is this wife of the Germanic tribal leader who united a bunch of tribes who then succeeded in pushing the Roman legions out of their territory. So you get into the early 19th century in the Napoleonic Wars, and there's a lot of, in German literature, people using this battle, you know, as a way to talk about what's going on with Napoleon invading Germany. So anyways, I write about all these literary representations and then decide I want to write one of my own representations. And so that was really the first book that I wrote, which was absolutely horrible. It was an information, not unlike what I just did, telling you all about it because I was so into it. But I also realized historical fiction takes so much work and research, and then parsing, you know, what is interesting. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for people who do that because I found it very difficult and find it very cringeworthy to read back over that manuscript. But anyways, so I, you know, have written academic books as well, and, you know, have written all these literary analyses, and I find it very freeing to now just write fiction. I do think it helped having that background in that, you know, I think the more you write, the stronger a writer you are. And with that background, I had to write a lot. And also I had to be very diligent in how I used my time writing, you know, preparing articles for publication or conference papers or books or whatever it was. Also editing books myself for publication. I think I'm a little bit better at receiving feedback because I know what it's like to also give feedback. So I think it all added to it, but I am very grateful to be writing fiction full time now.
You mentioned the research involved in historical writing. I'm curious, did you do any research on perhaps like police procedure as you were working on this novel?
Yes. So, and you're absolutely right, and where I had to spend my most time. So the setting, the college campus, and the, you know, the most of the people who populate the novel, which are college students and professors, I knew very well, but the police procedural aspect is something that I had to do a lot of research on. I don't know what people did before the internet because I read so many blogs about a day in the life of a homicide detective, or, you know, Google imaged what different police stations or crime scenes, or, you know, read medical documents. So that, yes, that is absolutely where the research falls. I think in historical fiction, it's everything from what your characters are wearing to how they talk. And yes, of course, setting something in 9 AD where you don't have any written records makes that a little bit more complicated too.
Can you tell us what led from writing that historical novel that you said you were writing during your master's? What led from writing that to eventually getting your debut novel published?
Yeah, so in between that first book and then the one that was published, there were five more books that I wrote. full length, you know, probably 80, 90,000 word manuscripts, a lot of which, there were a couple that were also historical fiction, but a lot were literary fiction because that's what I was reading. That's what I was teaching and analyzing and, you know, writing about my scholarly publications. And that's what I felt like I had to write. But then I had this idea for this crime novel, because I think as much as I read literary fiction for my job, that always felt like work. And so in my spare time, I loved reading thrillers. And so I had this idea for my own thriller, and it all clicked for me. I think I really needed the rules of genre, you know, having a mystery, having a crime, and then needing, you know, to solve that crime, just having that direction in terms of plot, that really helped me, you know, have a focus. And I wrote the novel. So I normally, as a professor, would use the summers to work on research projects, because especially teaching, I was teaching at a small liberal arts college where you still have a pretty heavy teaching load. They consider us teacher scholars, so teachers first, but scholars second. But there's still an, you know, expectation to publish. And so I would use the summers to start big research projects and then to finish up whatever I was working on. So essentially one summer, I kind of gave myself permission to use half that time. So essentially the time before lunch to work on this creative project. And I approached it with the same seriousness that I would an academic project. Because I think with all the other books, I thought of it more as a hobby, and I gave it the amount of time I would give a hobby. But I switched, and I kind of applied the same logic that I would have to an academic project of, you're going to write every day, you're going to write, you know, I think I probably set the goal of 1,000 words. I don't know that I necessarily held myself, but it was like, until lunch, you will get to write on your creative project. And then after lunch, I think I was finishing up an article in a conference presentation. Oh, and that presentation was going to be in Lisbon, I think, in July. So it was essentially like I gave myself the 2 months before that presentation. And I wrote 60,000 words, which was a really good start to that manuscript. And then I kept working on it over the school year. And then I pitched it to an agent. And we signed on in March 2020. Which, if you remember what happened, I think we signed on right around that time where everyone or a lot of people thought COVID would just be this 2 week thing. And then it ended up being much longer. So we worked together for about a year before she pitched it. And that whole time we were fine tuning the manuscript. So in a way, that extra time, although I was feeling impatient, I think made it so that we had a much stronger novel when she went to pitch it to different editors.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
What was your writing process for The Professor? Did you plan the novel extensively before you begin writing it, or did you just dive into the story? How does that work for you?
I say that I am a pantser who wants to be a plotter, because my tendency is I write about 60,000 words because I'm very excited about what this new idea is. And then because thrillers are so twisty and, you know, turning, I end up often writing myself into a corner. And then I have to write an outline, figure out what is there, you know, break it apart, reorganize things, delete half of what I've written, and then, you know, have a better outline that I then work from to finish the novel. And I will say with The Professor, I had a better outline than I did going into The Resemblance, because I learned a little bit from that first book. But, you know, there was still a lot of writing, revising, cursing my earlier self for that extra work that I had created. But I had a better idea of where it was going. That's not to say there were certain surprises. I kind of knew who did it, but there was something that happened at the very, very end that was done by a character I did not expect to do the thing. I'm being vague because I don't want to spoil it. But once this character did the thing, it made complete sense. So it was, I surprised myself, but I think I had set up this character to do exactly what they needed to do.
That's great. Well, what writing advice would you offer for those who are working on their own stories or novels?
I think read. For me, reading, I'm a reader first, I think. I just absolutely love to read. And then if I ever am feeling writer's block, I will just start reading. And inevitably, that is always a cure, you know, to writer's block. So I think read. I think, you know, perseverance or stubbornness, however you want to look at it. I think you have to believe in what you're writing, and you have to love what you're writing, because if you're going to bring up a publication, you're going to write and write and revise and edit and write and, you know, do that like over and over again to the point where you can, you know, you have those words almost memorized. So you should really love what you're working on, because you will be the person who reads it the absolute most. So yes, read, persevere, and then love what you're doing.
Are you working on another novel now?
I am. I've taken a little bit of a break just because of the book tour, but that's now pretty much over. I think there'll be a few things in the new year, but I'm back to, I'm more in the revising, that revising stage that I was telling you about.
What novels have you read recently that you enjoy?
Oh gosh. Well, as I said, I am a reader first, so I'm always reading and listening and consuming literature all the time. So I read recently Midnight is the Darkest Hour by Ashley Winstead, which was absolutely phenomenal. And she's also a former academic. Her PhD is in English literature. And at the back of this book, there is a conversation with the author that is just phenomenal. And the ending of that book is absolutely incredible. And we did an event together where I got to ask her a little bit about it. And I was, I love everything she writes. I read Panther Gap at the beginning of the year. It's an eco thriller, and it is just, it's absolutely phenomenal. It's by James McLaughlin. And I am really just love people who write eco thrillers. Important, but then he writes it in a way that's completely thrilling and engaging. I do a book club here in Nashville, and we just read a fantasy book. We always vote, which is really nice because it gets me to read things that I might not otherwise choose. And so we read Starling House by Alex E. Haro. I listen to audiobooks a lot, so I'm alternating between Patti Smith's Just Kids, which is a memoir, and then Rebecca Yarros's Fourth Wing, which is, of course, a fantasy. I'm a little late. This was the first book in this fantasy series that is just blowing up everywhere. So yeah, reading a ton. Reading and listening.
It is. I just bought Fourth Wing for a teenager.
I mean, it is really holidays. Engaging. And it's, I was listening to Patti Smith's Just Kids, which is absolutely phenomenal and beautiful. I think I might need to read it instead of just listening. But on a long car ride, I find I want something like a thriller or fantasy just to keep me a little bit more engaged. And I am absolutely engaged by this Fourth Wing.
Where can people find you online if they'd like to learn more about you and your novels?
Yeah, so my website is just www.laurennossett.com. I'm on Instagram. That's probably where I'm the most active just in terms of updates. And I want to say I just switched it. I was actually, for the longest time, I had a Bookstagram account where I would post pictures of my very cute Pomeranian Bowie with book reviews. And that was called Reading with Bowie, but I just switched it to make it a little bit easier to find me. So I'm
I think I'm just Lauren Nossett or author Lauren Nossett. If you type in Lauren Nossett on Instagram, it'll pull me up. But that's where I probably post the most often in terms of updates. And I've recently, I'm a little shy to tell this, but I have recently ventured into TikTok world. So I do have a TikTok account. It is still very new, and I feel like I don't really know what I'm doing. But I think it's also something like author Lauren Nossett or Lauren Nossett author on TikTok. So.
That's great. Well, again, we've been speaking to Lauren Nossett, author of the new novel, The Professor. The novel is available now, so go buy a copy. And Lauren, thanks for doing this interview.
Thanks so much for having me, Jeff.
Absolutely.